Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. We welcome all of you in the YouTube audience. Whenever you're watching this, I know a lot of people are streaming today, a lot of people out of town. But I really appreciate you, gorgeous people, who made the effort to actually be here today. Sorry you missed the rapture, but it was supposed to have happened yesterday, but somehow we'll muddle through the tribulation period together. Oh, did they push it back again? Oh, man. They just cannot get that date right. I was going to post about it, but it just seemed inappropriate. I don't want to get stuff started with people. There's enough already going on.
What's sad is they don't know he's already come.
Well, yeah, exactly. What Eddie said is they don't know he's already come. Yeah. They'll get it eventually. They will get it eventually. We're in agreement for a beautiful day. Please greet somebody if you haven't already and say hello to them. And then you may be seated. What I'd like to do, I want to start with a meditation this morning, and then I want to talk a little bit and kind of finish up this month, and then I would like to end with a meditation. We'll still continue it next month, but I'll have music again next month. Marshall Ruffin's going to be here. It is a five Sunday month, so we'll have him five times, and Marshall's always, he always brings something very special. I'm sure you all know, and I hate to begin on a solemn note, but it's just our reality, that remember last Sunday, something really interesting happens when everybody meditates together. There's something about those few moments right after it's over, when people agree. It's actually, I nearly think it's more of a unified prayer than when people are actually praying, because everybody's just kind of on a same note, you know what I mean? Like if everybody's praying something different, sometimes you kind of scramble the connection a little bit. Y'all come on in. And last week, as you know, it's been a very challenging year with all three of our parents, especially with Ken's, and we knew that his time was coming, and the doctor had said it's probably going to be another month, and but he was in bad shape, and we got through the meditation last week. I said, can we just agree that he'll just go ahead and be at peace? And man, apparently when Metron agrees for something, it kicks into high gear, because within a couple of hours, Ken went back to eating right after service, and he called and he said, we've got to take him into the hospital. And I don't think he knew it, but I knew he wasn't going to come out. Like, this is it. And I'll spare you all the details, and Ken's probably too emotional to say anything. It's been, let me explain this. With him, it's not just losing a parent. He's lived with his parents a good bit of his adult life. And after he was single again, you know, he took care of his mom there for 6 years, and he's taken care of his dad for the last 7 years. So it's not just... I was trying to explain to my mom yesterday. I said it's more than just losing a parent. His dad built that house in 1967, and that's where they still live. That's the only house he's ever known. So there's the attachment to it is something I can't even understand. If I was trying to count up between how many places I've lived and my parents have lived since 1967, and I lost count. I mean, I don't associate any geographical location with home. Because I grew up in parsonages, and we moved around a lot and everything. But that's his, I mean, he's got a lot to deal with, because it's not just losing a parent, it's a lot. I think you all get that. But, and he's such a caretaker that I think he was fully psyched on, I want to bring him home and have hospice here and let him go from home like my mom did. I think you were really kind of geared for that. I personally, cold-hearted as I am, I'm not cold-hearted, I've just been around a lot. I was just glad they got him in a hospital. I was glad that he was there. And, you know, we're having to worry that if you walk out of the room for 1 minute, something's going to happen. And once he got in there, things spiraled quickly. And Wednesday when I got up, I thought, he's going today. He's definitely going today. But I thought it'd be later that night. But it was that afternoon. And about 4:30, we walked down to the cafeteria to get something to eat. And literally, just as we sat down, his niece texted him, said, his heart's failing right now. He ran it up. I said, I think we have time to eat. And I was wrong. We did not. So I came on up. And he went very peacefully. And he was a deacon in the Baptist church there. His Baptist pastor was quoting scripture as he crossed over. And I want to say, I don't think I really need to say this to you guys, but I do want to, put this on the podcast and on the video. There's a reason why the scripture says weep with those that weep. Like I've noticed some of the stuff. First of all, let me say, those of you that came to the funeral home Thursday night, you have no idea what it meant. And I really, really appreciate it. And Avery and Freddie that came all the way out to the funeral, I can't tell you much. I was actually trying to find you to eat with us, and you disappeared somewhere. I know you probably don't want to stand around in Eatonton too long around a lot of white people. So I was thinking, yeah, he may want to just get in the car. I mean... Well, Freddie, first of all, you looked particularly distinguished that day. You had a suit on and a hat. And I'm pretty sure you were the only African-American guy at the graveside that I remember seeing. Oh, those two. So I'm sure, because I'm usually the white guy in a crowd of black people, I feel for you. I know what that's like to be the one that everybody, they know you're there. Anyway, thank you for coming. And those, those messages mean a lot. All of you are seasoned enough to kind of know how to the right things to say. But I was noticing, he hasn't said this, this is my observation. I was noticing some of the things that people would write to him, and they say, well, I've lost both my parents, whatever. Nearly like, I know people are meaning to, they're trying to comfort you, but that doesn't help when you've lost yours. It doesn't. You know, people try to top your story or even to say it'll get better, whatever. Well, no, you're in the middle of grief. Just weep with those that weep. Sometimes trying to make somebody feel better actually makes them feel worse. I'm not comparing this with something like this because I haven't lost parents yet. So I frankly can't empathize with it. I mean, truth be told, I'm watching how Ken was watching his dad pass over, and I'm kind of mentally taking notes like, oh, that's how you do that, okay. And or that's what that looks like. I mean, I've been around death and dying my entire life, but when it comes to family, that's, your parents, that's a different thing. So, but I remember, well, let me say it this way. Ecclesiastes says there's a time to be born and a time to die, and I think both those things are happening simultaneously. It's like in this case, of course we didn't want my father-in-law to suffer anymore. Of course we're relieved that he's not in pain. That still doesn't mean that you don't cry. So you're feeling two things simultaneously. Yes, you're relieved. No, you wouldn't want him to stay in that condition where he's just miserable. But yes, it's still hard. Jesus knew he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead, but he still wept. There in the King James where it says he groaned in the spirit. It was it's actually a really long Greek word that I can't pronounce. But it's like the sound that a horse makes when it snorts and stamps a little bit, and it's that thing when you're between two realities. Like I know somebody's with the Lord, blah blah blah, but that was my daddy that just died. So you're feeling two different things. And I remember, again, I'm not comparing this to that, but it's the way I understand it. When we lost the property in Covington, I had people writing me saying, Bishop, it's just a building. And I'm like, you know what? That's not making me feel better. I don't have any regrets. at all. But don't marginalize it and say it's just a building. It was my life's work. It was, you know, if that's what you're going to say, I know the church isn't just a building, but that's not making me feel better. And I thought, people need to know how to just put their arm around somebody and weep with them. That's all you need to do. Jesus just said, can you just wait with me 1 hour? You don't have to. Sometimes when you don't know what to say, it's better just to not say anything and just be there. And that is one thing. I will give him this, the pastor of it's a beautiful historic church. Probably it's the church is 200 years old, but that building's probably been there since before the Civil War. But it's white beadboard in there with really beautiful stained glass, so the colors really pop off of it. I've never been in there, but it's beautiful. And the Southern Baptist pastor there was actually a friend of Mr. Monty's, and he was a deacon there, and he took care of the big, you can imagine how many people have been buried there in 200 years, so he took care of the cemetery, and was, you know, it's one of those older congregations that's dying off, and if they don't get some young people in the next few years, they'll have to close it and make it into a museum or something. And by the way, our outreach this month, of course, was Hurricane Harvey. Y'all remember that? That seems so long ago now. And I had planned on our outreach for this month being Hurricane Irma, but the family had requested that contributions be made to the church there in lieu of flowers. So we did that for this month, and we'll do Hurricane Irma next month. And it was interesting that the check that we gave them, Avery said she looked at, they post their income for a week. What we gave them was more than their income was all last week, or their tithes and offerings all last week. So I'm sure it was a nice gift for them. And I was glad for it because, he is what he is, but the Southern Baptist preacher was actually very sweet, and we've spent a lot of time together in the hospital the last, you know, when somebody's just lost somebody, they didn't just lose somebody, they just didn't have a loved one die. They're also exhausted from being in the hospital, and there's all kind of stuff, and we haven't even gotten to dealing with what do you do at the house and all this kind of stuff. So I spent a lot of time with the Baptist pastor, and after a while, we just got to, you know, if I'm going to be in a room with you for any length of time, I'm going to end up talking to you. So I knew that the previous pastor didn't enjoy the gays too much and used to preach nearly every, I'm sure he must have heard about Ken and me, and I'm sure it was directed at my father-in-law. Because there weren't none of those old white people in Eatonton, that little Baptist church, are gay. I don't know why he's on it so much. I'm like, dude, none of these old people are gay. But anyway, I wasn't sure if this was the same guy or not. But we, you know, we talked and compared notes, and he's real Southern and, you know, all that. But I noticed he had his arm in a sling, and I was asking about that, and he's having shoulder replacement surgery. So I said, he'll never watch this, so I can say this. I said, well, Pastor Marvin, who's going to take your pulpit while you're out for a few weeks having your surgery? I said, you ought to let me fill in for you. I said, I'm sure these Baptists in Eatonton would love me. But you know what he said? He said, Brother Jim, I don't judge nobody. And I thought, well, you know what? For a Southern Baptist preacher with a little church in Eatonton, that was actually a pretty progressive thing to say. So I thought, okay, fair enough. That was very, from where he's coming from, that was pretty enlightened. And at least at the funeral, he didn't make everybody go through an altar call and say, you know, if you don't meet Jesus, you're never going to see him again. At least he spared us all of that, because that stuff's not necessary at a funeral. Oh, yeah. And it was good for me to, and even at the graveside, I met his wife, and I was relaying that to her, and she's very similar to him. And she says, well, that's the way we ought to be. We don't judge people. And I said, oh, you mean you're like Christians? Oh, I've heard of that. But, it was a teachable moment for a lot of people. I mean, I was listed in the obituary as his spouse, and I'm sure that's new for some people out there. But I have to say, his community and especially his family have been surprisingly embracing of us. And more so than my family, some of them has, because they, you know, they, those that have churches, they're afraid if they say congratulations on anything, that's endorsing the gay agenda. So they'll have to work through their stuff. And we get to the other side, they owe me a big apology. And I'll be like, yeah, right, you should have known that back then. But anyway, we'll wait for you to get it. So many people have texted me, how's Ken doing it? Well, how do you think he's doing? I mean, he gets through it, you know? And I talked to my mom yesterday. She says, well, in one of the pictures, he was laughing. I said, well, I know, but that's intermittent with 10 minutes before that, he was sobbing. And that is just part of the process. And I don't tell people not to do that. The scripture says there's a time to weep. And it's inappropriate to tell people. Like, I remember when my mom's youngest sister passed away. Everybody at that funeral just kept saying, don't cry for her, don't cry for her, she's in a better place. I mean, they said it so much that we put a cork in it. You know, like, okay, we're not going to cry. And a few months later, I was at my mom's oldest sister's house, and we were all sitting around the table and just telling funny things about my Aunt Joan. And I said, you know, I don't feel like I ever grieved her. We were commanded to have no emotion so much at the funeral. I was afraid to. So we all sat there and started talking about her, started crying. We actually had her funeral around that kitchen table. That's what's supposed to happen. Mourning is a process. And it's longer for some people than it is for others. I went out, stayed with him in Eatonton, and then I came on back. Out where his dad lives, when they turn off the lights, it's real dark and it's real quiet. Where I live, it's never dark and it's never quiet, even with the shades down, and I'm used to it. I mean, to me, a lullaby is sirens at 3 a.m. And somebody playing gangster rap outside my window with a thudding bass at 4. That's what I'm used to. I wake up and hear it and I'm like, you know. But when he flipped those lights off, I said, oh, my God, it's so dark. I was putting my hand over, like, how do you see to go to the bathroom? Yeah, he could do it with his eyes closed. But I told him yesterday, I said, take as long as you need. And he's having to work through, because he is there. You know, he'll be there on call next week. And but I was glad. I wanted him to be. I didn't pressure him, but I said, you know, let me know when you're coming. So he came last night, and we're here today, and we'll take it one day at a time, and that is what it is. But thank you so much for being here. And just, it's just making, I've gone down the list of asking, has so-and-so texted you? What? So, you know, at least just reach out. That's all that, you know, that's all that matters, is that people know that you made contact. So, I think I've given enough time for everybody to get in the room. This, you know, every week with this meditation, it's been really different. I really believe in this. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not fully in the habit of doing this on my own yet. So it's one reason I like having this, because it's kind of my own school for it. With everything that's going on, I haven't had a chance to read it, but at the funeral home, Fro was showing me a link about, what was it about, how it affects aging Fro's looking into becoming a trainer, so he was looking at some of the stuff, and the meditation, it's like it helps prevent Alzheimer's. Its benefits are just amazing. And you know what I love, if I had tried this with you guys a few years ago, I think people wouldn't have been ready for it, because they don't know what, like, is this transcendental meditation, are we Buddhists now, or whatever, because some of these quotes I'm sharing with you are from Zen Buddhist masters. Zen's not a bad word. It's not a negative word. It's not an antichrist word. Jesus was very metaphysical. He's very Eastern. As I've told you week after week, I believe when Jesus went off to pray, I don't think he went there with a big prayer list like he was in travail. I think he was meditating. I think he was being contemplative. And you know how it is when, if you're a nature lover, to go out and like a walk on the beach sometimes is like, you feel like it's a prayer. Or going up to the mountains, or, you know, sitting by a stream. There's a reason why David said, he leads me beside still waters. That's a implication of he makes me sit down and get quiet and contemplative and sort of remove my thoughts that may be self-sabotaging and let my mind and body and spirit kind of do its natural work to heal. Like I told you before, this Dr. Dispenza, when I went to this workshop, he told testimony after testimony of even people that have been, I don't want to use the word delivered, but they don't have cancer anymore. Now, again, they didn't just come to Metron once a week and meditate. I mean, these were people that really committed to it and made it a lifestyle and probably were doing other things that were healthy. But this has been good for us, and something special happens when we do it together. So I want to do one, and then I just have 3 points I want to share with you, just a scripture and 2 quotes, and then I want to end with one today. I want us to end very serenely. So I think you've all been here, so I don't have to over-explain this, but you know the drill, Wellington. If you can just, anybody else is coming in, just hold them out. I think this is a, what we have is about a 10, this is new music, and it's about 10 minutes. If we can bring the lights down. If you could just go ahead and get in the zone, I'd like for you to clear your laps. It's better if you put both feet on the ground. Nobody's going to be taking your picture, so you don't have to be self-conscious. Please sit up straight. The straighter you make your spine, the better, because it aligns things not just physically but also emotionally. You don't have to close your eyes, but you're probably going to want to. Don't try not to think of something, because when you try not to think of something, you end up thinking about it. So if your thoughts kind of wander away, I don't really have to say this. I'm saying this for the podcast people, because I think you all seem to get this first time. I know some of you, Ro and you guys, I know some of you already meditate. But a lot's happened this week, so we're gonna release some stress, and we're gonna process some grief. If there's a word that really resonates with you, like gratitude or peace or love or joy or something, if that's a word that's kind of has some energy for you, then focus on that word. Let's go ahead and start the music. It doesn't take long. Get right in. If you're listening to this on the podcast, just do it with us. Or if you're watching on YouTube, sit up straight. This is mostly about breathing. So let's inhale and hold it a couple seconds. Exhale, preferably through your mouth. If you can do it, it's better to inhale through your nose, exhale through your mouth. So we're going to breathe it in and hold it. Exhale, breathe it out. Breathe it in, hold it, exhale. If you're going to concentrate on anything, concentrate on your breathing. And just find a way of breathing that's consistent. If it's not through your nose, out of your mouth, then find what works for you. I think that's the best way. But just getting some oxygen to your brain, into your muscles, into your organs, is just important. So we're breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, we're breathing out. I already feel it. You're already there. Just be persistent in your breathing. In the next few moments, you'll become less conscious of my voice, and you'll start tapping into whatever the secret place of the Most High is for you. As I've told you over and over again, spirit and breath are words that are used interchangeably in the Scripture. So this is a very spiritual thing. The Holy Spirit literally is the holy breath of God. That's really where you want to get. You want to get your mind just as clear as you can. Sitting up straight, that your shoulders are relaxing. Don't hold your tension in your shoulders. Breathe it out. Breathe out stress. Breathe out chaos. Breathe out emotional pain. Scriptures, now are you light? Jesus said, you are the light of the world. so shy. Tap into the energy of that light. Let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. Keep breathing in the breath of God, the creative breath of God. Just gradually come out of it. Oh, it was good. Well, if there's anybody out there, you can let them come in. When we do this, I can't help but think of, I think it's Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I'm God. There's things you can't know until you're still. Even running around praying, what should I do, what should I do? If you'll get still, your heart will tell you what to do. Your heart knows what to do. We've all got things that we don't have a cognitive answer for. So you have to remove. I'm not saying you shouldn't think things through. I'm not anti-thought. but there are things your heart knows that your head doesn't realize you know. So let's bring the lights up a little bit, and let me talk some, and then we'll do one more before we leave today. That was good. You know, when you've got people who are in the flow, you don't have to, it doesn't take a long time. You know what I mean? It's interesting. It doesn't seem to take people as long to get on the same page meditating as it used to trying to get them on the same page leading them into worship. Because people were in different places in their heads during worship, you know, and they have different worship modes. With meditation, everybody's just sitting there and you're quiet and particularly unified. If you didn't hear what Eddie said, he was saying that he believes he likes what I do. Well, his exact phrase was uniquely qualified. I do think the, you know, from your mouth to God's ear, but I do believe the ministry of reconciliation is about connecting spiritual paths. That's why I'll never stop referring to the scripture. But I'm not going to refer to it exclusively, because I want to, if you refer to it exclusively, then you're not unifying people. You're speaking to one belief system. So I will accept that. Yes, I think that's why I don't have any regrets. You know what I mean? Like I'm where I'm supposed to be on my path. Just three things I want to show you. One of them is a scripture, and it's you're familiar with it. It's just Philippians 4:8. Where it says, finally, my brethren, think on these things. But I want to show it to you from the message, which I'm sure I have shown you before. This is actually Philippians 4, verse 8 and 9. But I wanted to use it because he particularly uses the word meditating here. He says, summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. King James says, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So the word meditate, think, contemplate, all those words are used interchangeably. I don't believe that Paul is exhorting us here to denial. I would be lying if I said this hasn't been a difficult week for us. Some of you, you know, I've walked with you through it. I've walked through it with Sharon with her daughter and Sammy with his mom, and so many of you, you know, over the years. And you know, it's new. I feel like everything's changing all the time. Even last night, he downloaded new. I guess the iPhone was ready for a software update. And now he's got to, it all looks different again. And it's just, everything's changing. What used to be a vacant parking lot across from my building now is a beautiful new apartment complex that's, like, I guess the model must be open because it's not finished yet. But we walked last night to get something to eat, and we're, you know, looking up at the windows. And I said, I got to get used to I'm so used to this looking a certain way when I drive out of this parking lot. I have to open a new neuropath. So everything's changing. One thing I posted, if you saw it, which somebody posted this yesterday, and I thought it was funny. I didn't know the guy, so I didn't like on it because I thought it'd be weird. But he said, when somebody asks me, did you see what I posted? I say, no, I didn't, Beyonce. I thought that's the funniest thing. In other words, like, you think your post is so important, everybody should have seen it. When I say, did you see my post? I'm just trying to give you a point of reference. It's not that I think you're up looking at everything I post. But I did, Judah and Stacy came to the funeral in the graveside, and I didn't know she was going to do it, but Stacy took a little video. The pastor did the funeral, I did the graveside. And that was at the Baptist church. His mom went to the Methodist church and played the piano there for 30 years, so she was buried at the Methodist church, so he was buried there with her. So we were with Baptist and Methodist this week. They can definitely cook, I'll tell you that. I know why they call it Eatonton. Because I have eaten a ton. You know how when you're just stress eating and grief eating and, you know, it feels like you're hungry, but you keep going back and like, is there any more of that chicken left? And it's like there's a bunch of it left. You're like, dear God. And they're all baking cakes and chocolate surprise and whatever. And oh, Jesus. Ray and Joanne and Avery came over to the house the night before, and we were sitting around the table. They just kept bringing food. Even we've all gotten to know each other really well. His ex-wife came over to me. Like, we're buddies now. And she's like, should I heat up some of this pork that, what is Uncle Wayne made? I was like, heck yeah. So she's heating that up. She says, do you want some? I said, yeah. And I said, give me some of that lemon pie you made too. I was like, Lisa, you slammed on that lemon pie. I wanted to go, that's one thing I can't do for him. I can't make no lemon pie. He'll always have that with you. But, and I introduced her to all of y'all, and it was just like, we were just like grown folks. And, which by the way, if, you know, if you've had a life and you've been married, you've had kids, you don't, those people aren't out of your life. So even if you got issues, at least for weddings and funerals, put it aside and try to be big boys and girls, which, you know, his brother, I just now got it straight whose kids were whose with between his marriages. And it, like, I finally got it straightened out this week. Like, oh, okay, got it. He's, you know, I've already told you my stories about them. Remember I told you at Olivia's birthday party, remember the babysitter came up to me and said, explain to me who everybody is here. And I said, well, I was married to that woman and we have those two children. And then I was married to that woman and we have those two children. Now I'm married to that man. She said, what kind of man are you? I said, that's a good question. Anyway, so she posted this video, and Nathan and Christina brought his granddaughters, which we didn't think was a good idea, because Addie's adorable, but she's a handful. And the night before, she's running around, and I'm like, I think it's time for Addie to go to bed. And when they said, we said, who's keeping the girls today? Because Lisa, his ex-wife, wanted to come to the funeral, as she should. That was her father-in-law for years, and she lives next door to him. And she said, I'm not keeping the babies. I'm going to the funeral. So they brought them. And we're like, oh, Lord, that's not. But they did good. Addie did well. They were fine. But what was interesting, and I posted a video and a picture of this, we're still not sure what she calls me. It's either Papa and Jimmy or Papa and Jim Jim, or yesterday it was Papa and Gemma. So I'm one of those three things. But last time we kept her, we watched Finding Nemo with her. I've got a big TV. And so she always associates me with that. So while you're looking at the video, I led everybody in how great they were, because that was his dad's favorite hymn. And I forgot to mention John Scott also came to the funeral. Anyway, the whole time I'm saying my thing, she's going, where's Nemo? Where's Nemo? And it was kind of, I knew what she was doing. That's why I just waved at her, like, we'll watch it later. And that's why I posted about it. And I said, it's kind of a bittersweet picture. seeing her standing in front of her grandfather's casket, having no idea what's going on there. But I thought it's really, that's the circle of life. You know what I mean? It's one life has gone to the next place, and another one, it's their turn now, you know? And it's just, I don't know, it was kind of oddly comforting to have her there. You know, when you're, there's something about, and not when they're screaming and crying, but if when just hearing a baby's voice and the baby's laughter, it's just all, it always lightens the, even if it's inappropriate, it's like it just, I don't know, it's just good. So I guess why I'm saying all that is, you know, just think of those things that are good and meditate on what's positive. Just to say that there isn't pain or grief, that's ridiculous. Of course, look, I even understand if I believed in traditional eschatology like the fundamentalist Christians do, I'd have been praying and fasting the last couple of weeks because it does look like the end of the world. I understand why people are freaked out. Did you see some of those videos in Mexico where like you like built, you're seeing buildings collapse on people? And I guess Puerto Rico's going to be without power for months, they say. And I don't know what the latest... Jose and Maria and I had a little talk. I was like, y'all just cannot. Y'all just got to let people rest. Harvey and Irma already did their thing. Please go back. And the last I heard, they were kind of trapped out in the ocean. So I would like, while we still got meditation vibes here, can we just agree that we keep them contained and let them have a big time out there in the Atlantic and don't do any more? Which, by the way, when people say, talk about it coming to America, you know the Virgin Islands are America. That is that is American territory. So, huh? Yeah. So that is us. That's not people down in the islands. That's at Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico, you know, has nearly become a state several times. So it's kind of unofficially our 51st state. So not that we, you know, I just want people to know that, yeah, it is, it has affected, you know, Florida, not just Florida, but in Texas. Anyway, two other things before we end this month with meditation. Are you glad we've done this?
Yes.
You cool with me still doing it even when I have music?
Yes.
I think that's going to be, I'm looking forward to next month. I think it's going to be an interesting combination. I'll probably do a shorter one, but just to kind of get started and then let him sing. And I think that's going to be really, it's going to be good. But just two other points I wanted to make. This one is by, you can tell by the name, this is somebody Eastern, but let me show you. It says, as gold purified in a furnace loses its impurities and achieves its own true nature, the mind gets rid of the impurities of the attributes of delusion, attachment, and purity through meditation and attains reality. I completely agree with this. This is why, this may not work for everybody else, but a lot of times now when I'm in traffic, I play that spa channel on XM, and it's music kind of like that. It's ambient music. And the music just keeps signaling to you to relax and to stay out of the, just opting out of the stress. People say, is there a lot of traffic in Atlanta? Like, yeah, it's a big city. Yeah, I mean, that's what comes with a big city. Not on Sunday mornings, you know, so it shouldn't deter you from coming here. But yes, it's an issue. Just the day-to-day hectic routine of just, you know, life's just always something. That's why vacations are so important, because you just need a minute where you're not even bad stuff, it's just stuff. It's just stuff that just wears you out, and we all get used to it, but I don't think we realize the stress that we live in. And really, I'm telling you, stress is harder on your body than smoking cigarettes. It's harder on your body than alcohol. I mean, stress is, and not just in the ways that you normally think, like with heart attacks and strokes. I mean, stress does all kind of weird, bizarro stuff to you. And you can't, live in it constantly without it manifesting somewhere in your body. And that's one thing I think, even if you can't just do a full-on meditation, there's even just staying peaceful. I'm not saying that you can't rock out. Like, once in a while you need something energetic, whatever. But know how to monitor yourself and manage just keeping the, sometimes even just lighting a candle, or if you like incense, burning it, you know, just something to constantly remind your senses, stay out of the stress lane, stay out of the stress lane, stay out of the stress lane. And like with all the fray that everybody gets into on Facebook, if that's what you want to do, fine, more power to you. Free speech rocks. I'm, you know, for whatever that you think about all this stuff going on with the NFL today, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I'm just happy that we live in a country where it's legal to protest, you know, and I don't care where you are on the political spectrum. Believe me, you want that too. You know the old saying, I may disagree with everything you say, but I'll just defend to the death your right to say it. That's right. Because once they start taking rights away from the guy next to you, believe me, you're next. That's why Dr. King said, justice denied anywhere is justice denied everywhere. That's why I always want to make, don't listen, black people, I want to make white people understand this. The civil rights movement was just about black people. It's an American thing, and it's a human rights issue. You better hope our country has civil rights. So I applaud the people that have the stomach for staying in the fight all the time. Just not me. I need closure. Like, even if I've texted with you and we got a little something going on, I need to know, even if it's a good text, I need to know, are we done yet? So I can close that window. You know what I mean? It's like smiley face, heart, love you. Love you too. Okay. Are we done? Because I got other things. You know what I mean? It's like, so I especially don't want to be in a stress thing with somebody. I can't tell many things I've nearly put online, and I'm just like, ugh, not worth it. Don't do it, Miss Celia. He ain't worth it. Don't do like I did. Want to go somewhere and can't. Okay, I got to stop that. It's my last time. Feel like you want to sing. Get it beat out you. The day I seed you in. Okay, stop, 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 stop. I know day was a God. There's just so many things in that scene that I relate to. I'm not saying that again. But you know, when Sophia's just sitting there, she's kind of out of it. This always makes Reggie laugh when I say that. When, you know, her eyes all messed up from when the white folks got her. She'd go, how you feeling, Miss Sophia? She goes, confused. Like, there have been many times in my life when people said, how are you feeling, Bishop? Confused. But then I also love when she starts getting her mojo back, you know, and she starts going, and the dad, played by Dolph, what was his name? Adolf Caesar. He goes, well, my God, the dead has arisen. Sophia home now. Pass me them peas. Do you think I've seen it a few times? Actually, I can quote a lot of movies like that. That's just... You would hate to watch movies with me because I anticipate the next line. You know, don't I? You're a very patient man to put up with it. Say what? Okay. I know I'm just visiting with you, but my spirit needs to just talk and laugh with you a little bit. And then let me show you this one last one. I thought this one was really, really important. If you have read after Buddhist masters at all. You're very familiar with this name. I really like this, and I think Christians need to know this. It says, meditation practice isn't about trying to throw ourselves away and become something better. It's about befriending who we are. Let me tell you one thing I've learned after 45 years of counseling with people. Everybody needs to know that. Because most of the issues people have is, it's not external. It really is internal. It's internal conflict. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't try to become the best version of yourself. But in the meantime, you really have to like yourself as you are. It's funny. Now, I'm not saying you can talk weight off of you. But in the last few weeks and months, I've put some weight back on. Just, you know, and it's my excuse has been, you know, all that we've been dealing with. And Francis has cooked for my parents twice, and let me just say I helped him eat a little bit of it. Francis can throw down. But this is funny. Last night we got in. I was trying to decide what I was going to wear today. And you know how when you're not sure what's going to button and what's not going to button, and, you know, sometimes it can be really like, oh, God, I can't deal with this right now. I was being absurd. But I was looking in the mirror. I said, my God, I've lost so much weight. I think people can worry about me when they see me tomorrow. I said, I hope I'm going to have to sit down for fear that my pants are going to fall down. I'm so slim. And I couldn't stop saying it. It's like, I need to fatten up a little bit. I mean, I just kept saying, I want you to know, I got on the scales this morning and I'd lost 3 pounds. Now, I'm not saying that was why. I'm just saying I must have put something out there in the atmosphere. I don't think it can take 20 pounds off you, but I think it's good for 2 or 3. Because this morning I thought, oh, Lord, I don't even want to get on these scales. And I was like, well, hey, that's not as bad as I thought. Now, my point is, there's a reason why Paul said it's the goodness of the Lord that brings people to repentance. Just telling people, let me tell you, when a preacher gets up and just hammers people about sin all the time, I can tell you this, he doesn't stop the sin in his church. All he does is he makes it go underground. I promise you, it doesn't change behavior. I remember one time, and I'm saying this in all respect, if Mom's streaming today, but she said to me one time, somebody that we knew who had a lot of moral trouble, they didn't believe in the rapture. And she said, I think it's because he doesn't believe in the rapture. And the scripture says it's the hope in you that purifies you. I said, Mom, do you want me to list the preachers that you and I both know that devoutly believe in the rapture? It has not purified them. Trust me. And I started naming names. And she said, stop. You've made your point. Preaching against sin doesn't stop people from sinning. Making people feel horrible about what they did doesn't change behavior. This hasn't happened in years, but I remember there was a time, especially when the church was big and we had a lot of kids. Oh, this would creep me out when somebody would do it. They'd drag their little kid up to me and say, Bishop, he's a behavior problem. I need you to talk to him. And I think, oh, don't do that. You know, first of all, it's probably the first interaction this kid's had with me. So they're already probably intimidated. I'm an authority figure and an adult that they don't know. And you're shaming them in front of me. I would never just rebuke the parent, but I would immediately reframe the conversation. And I'd just start talking to the kid like, I don't believe that. I think, you know, I just start saying good stuff to them. And then later I would say to the parent, can I just tell you something? Please don't ever do that with your child to me or to anybody, because it doesn't make them, when you say, boy, this one's a problem, you know what you've done? You've created a problem. You need to always play to their, what's that? You got to always play to their strengths. Even when they're good, it's like, I know I already told you this, but you know, I pick up the girls 3 days a week, my granddaughters. And they don't really argue over it, but there was a conflict over who was going to ride in the front seat with me and who was going to be in the back. They don't do the shotgun call. That's not them. But one day, Olivia always walks out a few minutes before Sophia. Olivia's the younger one. And she said, she didn't even say hello. She said, "Poppy, I have a solution." I said, "For what?" She goes, "This is what we should do. Let Sophia sit in the front row on Mondays and Fridays, since she is the older one. And I'll sit in the front on Wednesdays. But on Wednesdays, I get to decide where we're going to go for a snack." I said, "Olivia, that's brilliant. You're a problem solver." I said, "You're going to be a very successful woman because you found a problem, and without even nobody asking, you came up with a solution." And you know, that's what we've done. It's everything's hunky-dory because it's like, "Oh, it's Wednesday. Where you want to go?" And sometimes she lets us decide, but it's still her prerogative because we know it's Wednesday, your front row, and if you want, I got to sit in some traffic to get you that frozen yogurt, but if that's what you want today, that's what we'll get. And I want to play to their strengths and, celebrate your kids. Bring up a child in the way they should go. Anyway, I've said all those things over the years. You know those things. But I really want to exhort you to not just be at peace with God and peace with yourself. I mean, with the world. Be at peace with yourself. Make friends with yourself. Forgive yourself. Treat yourself courteously. Be kind to yourself. Be good to yourself. You know, it's important when you think different people do different things for somebody. They want to help out. That's a wonderful thing to do. Just don't forget to do it for yourself as well. There's some days you need to take you out on a date. You need to take you for a spa treatment. You need you go do something for you, because you're going to end up being a better person in relationships when your own needs are met. And that's not conceit. That's not arrogance. That's not being self-centered. That's like a holy thing. The second commandment is like unto the first. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. The assumption is you already love yourself, so treat yourself with that kind of respect. So many times lately, I've been in and out of my building a lot, and you know, when you come in, you have to use there's a thing you use to open the gate, and then when you get to the glass doors, you have to swipe the fob so that it unlocks it. And there's always people coming in, bringing groceries in. Or several times this week, I've been coming in just as somebody was coming in. They were getting out of their car with stuff. And I'll always stand there and hold the door for them. And I can tell it's a small thing. It delays me all of 10 seconds. But I can tell people are so appreciative. They're like, "Thank you for doing it." Because it's just, you know, when you got your arms full and you can't swipe, it really helps. And all it is just acknowledging that there's this other person. You know, if it's a woman, an elderly person, I will always stand there and hold. If it's a guy, he's behind me, I usually will do I'm not going to stand there and hold it for him like I would for a woman, but you hold it, you know, and it's like, "Oh, thanks, bud." You know, it's just, if everybody would just do those minor, easy-to-do acts of kindness, just to say, "I'm aware of you. I'm aware that you exist." I think it would solve a lot of the world's problems. It makes me nervous when heads of state start threatening each other with nuclear war. I'm like, I don't want you to appease them, but can we defuse this bomb a little bit before we just ratchet up maybe there's another way to frame this. And those little acts of kindness, even many of you may find this completely controversial for me to say. I hope you don't judge me on it, but I was noticing they showed a clip of, I don't know if it was Kaepernick or it was somebody that took a knee. And And the guy next to him was not taking a knee, but he had his hand on his shoulder. And I thought, that's actually, I get that. That's, you're saying, this isn't my protest, and it's not the way I would protest, but I respect your right to do it. And I thought, okay, that's America. That's the America I want to live in. I didn't know that. She was saying the reason he did that is he's in an interracial marriage. That's a white guy married to a black woman. Yeah. And there's some things you're never going to be able to empathize with, so you don't feel somebody's pain. But you need to respect their right to say something about it and not expect them to have the same worldview that you're going to have. It's amazing what people don't know. I remember this is even back before marriage equality was in all 50 states. It was like maybe legal in New York and California. And I was at some retreat, and this pastor came up to me and he said, look, I know who you are, and he said, I don't have any problem with you and your story and everything. He said, I just need to ask you, he said, why do you people need gay pride? Why do you need a gay pride? I don't understand that. He said, we don't have straight pride. I said, are you serious? I said, every day of the year is straight pride. I said, it's not legal for gay people to get married, and you do know there are gay hate crimes, you know, where straight people, or at least people who are trying to be straight, kill gay people. Like, how do you know? I mean, gay pride sometimes is over the top for me. It's not my personal taste. If you notice, I'm not on the afloat wearing a Speedo and waving a rainbow flag. However, I understand why some people want to do it, you know, and I'm like, well, this is America. That might not be the way that I do it, but I respect your right to be who you are. And people say, well, that offends me. Well, then don't show up in the park that day. Just that you don't have to, you know what I mean? You don't have to have if you're white, you don't have to have an opinion about Black Lives Matter if you don't get it. It's not it's something you're never going to understand anyway. Without somebody raising your consciousness, I'll say it that way. But I'm amazed at some things that some people say. You think, well, you can't have that conversation. Men can't say to women, I think PMS is all in your mind. No. I think you're overreacting to those labor pains. No. You could possibly be killed. You might find out how real PMS is. And there's certain things that you, like again this week, I can't say I know how you feel. I don't yet. So you sit outside the gate with somebody while they go into Gethsemane and sweat their drops of blood. And you don't have to come up with dumb, awkward things to say. He was saying when people say that, they make it about them. Yes, exactly right. And that's why sometimes it's a holy thing. You know, those of you that were care pastors, I used to tell you this all the time. Like, if you go to the hospital with somebody, you don't have to make them feel better. You just need the fact that you showed up is what they need. Yeah. Like, those of you, nobody owes any explanation if you didn't, but those of you that did, you know, Eatonton's a long way out there. I mean, I get it. And it did mean the world. That wasn't my father's body laid in that casket, but I knew it meant something to him. And when I saw, you know, when I saw you in line, and even seeing Leslie, and I know she's having some health issues right now. She's in her own season of grief. I was like, wow, that means a lot. Thank you. And that's all you need, is just let somebody know I'm aware of what you're going through. I've tried to make it a point, because every time I talk to my mom, I've talked so much about his dad lately and what we're going through with him. I've made it a point to say I need to hear her out and let her, because she's got her own stuff she's dealing with, you know. And I mean, it's a lot. And we'll all get through it. But when it comes back to meditation and making friends with yourself, make friends even with your reality. You say, well, I thought we're supposed to want to change reality. Yeah, but you don't change it by cursing the present reality. Do you know what I mean? The better house comes for you when you're grateful for the apartment you live in now. The better car comes for you when you're grateful that you just have anything to drive. You know what it's like? It's like celebrating what you have now that attracts the better thing. And but cursing it, cursing your life, cursing your situation, cursing your body, I guarantee you when you see me next week, I'm going to be slimmed down a little bit more. Because I kept looking in that mirror going, my God, I'm afraid somebody's going to think I'm 30 years old and you're with a younger man. I don't want you to be embarrassed. Being with such a young, thin person like myself. All right. Anyway, that's all I wanted to share with you today. I really just wanted to talk, and that's what I did. All right, we're going to do, let's don't worry about, we won't end with the thing about giving. You all know about that. I will say this, though, if you have a check, make it JESM. If you have cash, if you want to give it to Ken, he didn't know I was going to say that, but today would be a good day to do that. I'm sure it would help. So let's bring the lights back down, and we're going to go out with meditation, since meditation was the focus this month. And we're going to, like the scripture says, you're going to go out with peace today. Just find me one of those other ones that we've used. Even if it's a little bit shorter, it's fine. I mainly just want to. And when it's over with, we'll just peacefully leave. Feet on the floor, sit up straight. We're going to breathe one more time. Breathe consistently. I want you to meditate on some of these things that I've just said about making friends with yourself, making peace with your situation. Over a situation, I want you to breathe it out and tie that knot. Breathe it out. Breathe it out. uttered. You're in tune with your heart. You're not afraid. Muscles. Stress is leaving your mind. Peace. I love you. See you next week.